From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages by Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Dr. Cairns is studying the life of Abraham. Today, we'll hear the final portion of a message entitled, Light Brightening the Darkness of Death. Genesis chapter 23 records the sad event of Sarah's death. Here we see Abraham, the man of faith, experiencing the loss of a spouse. It was certainly a time of weeping. Yet, in spite of his sorrow, Abraham's response to Sarah's death teaches us many instructive lessons to help us in such a time. First, he faced the darkness of death by the light of the gospel of hope. Next, he demonstrated a shining personal testimony, using Sarah's death as a witness to his faith in God. Finally, Abraham was able to face the darkness of death because of his well-founded and well-grounded hope in God's promise. Dr. Cairns will conclude this message shortly. First, we invite your attention to a devotional thought from the pen of the great 19th century preacher C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Divine Provision. The text is Matthew chapter 6 and verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Clothes are expensive, and poor believers may be led into anxiety as to where their next suit will come from. The soles are thin. How shall we get new shoes? See how our thoughtful Lord has provided against this care. Our Heavenly Father clothes the grass of the field with a splendor such as Solomon could not equal. Will he not clothe his own children? We are sure he will. There may be many a patch and a darn, but raiment we shall have. A poor minister found his clothes nearly threadbare, and so far gone that they would hardly hold together. But as a servant of the Lord, he expected his master to find him his livery. It so happened that the writer, on a visit to a friend, had the loan of the good man's pulpit, and it came into his mind to make a collection for him, and there was his suit. Many other cases we have seen in which those who have served the Lord have found him considerate of their wardrobe. He who made man so that when he had sinned he needed garments, also in mercy supplied him with them. And those which the Lord gave to our first parents were far better than those they made for themselves.
Oh.
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is available to you. The principal focus of this particular issue is the prophet Daniel. There are 5 articles written by various ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church dealing with such subjects as glorifying God in an ungodly world, Daniel, a man of prayer, and the prophet's visions. Also, this issue commences a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church. In this issue, you'll read about the life and ministry of Dr. Ian Paisley. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word, radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a new feature on the website. During recent months, Dr. Cairns has been receiving questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to be baptized? Or, how do we know that the Bible is the Word of God? Or, what is the greatest need of the church today? The LTBS radio website now contains video clips of Dr. Cairns providing answers to these and many other questions. These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Christian, remember this when death comes to your family. Your grieving may be real, but remember this. The world will be watching you. They want to see, is there anything to this gospel that this person has so long said he believes in? Is there something here that really does give a light in the valley of death? Your personal testimony will be such a light. And you'll find that it is in serving Christ, even at that time, that the burden of sorrow and the depth of grief is taken away. This is what keeps you from sinking. There are so many people who want to wallow in their sadness. And I don't want to sound harsh, but I want to make this very, very clear. And I pray God that He will give me the grace to live by what I preach. Listen, so many people, when they come to the loss of a loved one, they wallow in their grief. And very soon they are not really mourning the person that's gone. They're feeling sorry for themselves. And feeling sorry for themselves, in reality they are but rebelling against the wise providence of God. Oh, mourn your loss. Stand before your dead. And when you've buried them out of your sight, you've no call to try to be a stoic. You've no call to try to eradicate them from your memory. God does not call for such folly. But do not wallow in the sorrow. Rather, use the sorrow, use the bereavement, use the loss to establish more clearly than ever your testimony as a separated servant, a pilgrim who is following your Master on to glory. And you'll find that when God enables you to serve even in the midst of the darkness of death, He will give you a light in the valley. The final thing I'll say is this, that Abraham faced the darkness of death by the light of a well-founded and well-grounded faith and hope. He made Sarah's grave a monument of faith and hope. Many preachers have taken the position that this whole transaction and Genesis 23, the securing of this field of Machpelah, was to secure a right to the land for Abraham's posterity. And I think a moment's consideration will tell you that that just is sheer nonsense. Buying a burial plot here in Greenville would never establish any legal title to the rest of South Carolina. So that's just not so. He didn't need it anyway. God had already given him, in sacred covenant, the title to the land for him and for his posterity. Abraham's purchase of the field and the cave of Machpelah was rather a declaration of faith in God's promise. And it was a pledge and memorial to his descendants of their interest in the land. Certainly Jacob saw it that way. That's how he understood the cave of Machpelah. It was a pledge that Israel would return and take the land. Joseph looked on it in exactly the same way. The Word of God gives us a very similar setup or scenario in the book of Jeremiah. You remember, God gave the prophet the message that Israel is going to be taken out of their land. They're going to lose the land. And for 70 years, they'll be gone. But I'll bring them back again. And here's the pledge. And he said to Jeremiah in chapter 32 of that book, verse 9 and then verse 15, that he should buy a field. And this is what Jeremiah said. I bought the field of Hanameel, my uncle's son that was in Anathoth, and I weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. That was the real meaning of the purchase of the field of Machpelah. It was a pledge. The promise would be fulfilled.
Certainly that's how some of the greatest commentators have looked in this passage. One said Sarah's grave was the cradle of the Abrahamic kingdom in Canaan. The great English bishop, Bishop Wordsworth, said in that grave was implied the hope of the resurrection. You know, every believer's grave is a statement of faith. Every believer's grave is a seed of hope. It's a statement of faith. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says that we sorrow not as others who have no hope. Because if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. That's the statement of faith. And that faith climaxes in the great vision that ends 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Where the dead in Christ will rise first. And we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. When you stand by the grave of a Christian, you hear words that become trite. But just stop and think of them. Earth to earth, dust to dust, we commit the body of our brother or our sister here departed in sure and certain hope of the resurrection to come. That's our faith. We believe that Jesus died. We believe that Jesus rose again. And in the words of the Savior Himself in John 14, because I live, ye shall live also. And when you come to the grave of a Christian, you are saying, we have a gospel of life that is greater than the power of death. We have a testimony to salvation that transcends the grip of sin and death and hell. We have a light in the valley of death, a beam from heaven that scatters the darkness. This grave is a statement of faith, and it is a seed of hope. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians about this in that incomparable 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, verse 42. He speaks of the body of a believer. And he says it is sown. Remember this when you stand by the grave of a loved one. We say in human language, as did Abraham, we bury our dead out of our sight. That's the natural description. This is a burial service. But that's not the spiritual description. That's not how God describes it. God says this is a farmer planting a seed. And the body of the believer is sown in incorruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. The grave of Sarah was a seed of hope, as is the grave of every believer. I remember standing by the coffin of my mother. My two sisters were weeping profusely. They were touching her face and wishing they could have her back. I said to them both at that time, I couldn't weep today if I tried. Sure, I miss my mother. But her suffering's over. These last 2 years of what was shame for her, they're gone. She's with Christ. We sowed a body that day. And the harvest day is coming. Think of the millions of Christians around this world who, following Sarah, have been sowed in hope. For us who are saved, the graves of our loved ones, while they tug at our heartstrings and they bring tears that are natural to us in the flesh, they are not places really of gloom. They are not places of defeat. They are not places without light. They are places of natural darkness, but the darkness has been dispelled by the light of the glory of God. The light of the gospel of life. The light of our personal testimony of a saving interest in Christ. The light of the sure and certain hope of resurrection unto glory. This is the light that Abraham had in the valley of death. Can I say to you that the passage of some 4,000 years has neither given hope for any other light or taken away one beam from that celestial light? You and I, every one of us, unless we live to see the coming of Christ, every one of us is going to do two things. Well, most of us will do two things. Some may only get to do one of them. We are going to bury our nearest and dearest. And we ourselves are going to die. Face that. This is not being morbid. This is just being real. We're going to die. Let me ask you, as you look into the valley, can you honestly say there's a light in the valley of death or bereavement now for me? Because I know Him who said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness, not even in bereavement, but shall have the light of life. Make sure you know Christ. He is the resurrection. He is the life. Make sure you know Christ. Make sure that you do not have religion, but the Redeemer. Make sure you have this well-grounded hope that will stand the test of bereavement and the test of death.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.